KFI AM 640. It is the Conway program, and the employee of the month is standing by, ready to talk about restaurants and how he's enjoying his newfound fame. Ladies and gentlemen, Stephen Gregory, how are you, sir?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, congratulations,
no,
man.
No, thanks.
You know, how'd you? Was it tough to sleep last night?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, because really people kept texting me all night.
Sorry.
Did everybody text you congratulations?
Yeah, and then some people were texting me like research. It was really great.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did Gary and Shannon have to say? Congratulations, because
oh,
they were pissed
didn't
that they didn't
you?
Get to make the announcement.
Oh, I know. They were really angry about that today.
Yeah.
No one gave them a heads up. No one knew that it was just going to happen. And here, you know, I think I told you last night, I didn't know what was going on. No one told me anything. So I, you know, I was going on about my business. And then I so many people were trying to get in touch with me last night to go on the air.
Right.
I thought a 747 crashed into LAX everything, the urgency. So.
Yeah. Well, thank God, by the way, a 747 didn't crash.
No, yeah.
At LAX.
Thank God, obviously.
Right.
But, you know, that's usually the only reason people call me at night. So.
Yeah. Well, congratulations, buddy. I can hear it in your voice that you're, you know, you're still shocked and still thrilled.
Though I did listen to the playback, and I'm so glad I can count on people like Mark Thompson.
When Gina simply said, when somebody says somebody is the heart and soul of the station, the only thing you can possibly do at that point is agree with them.
Well, then
that's the only thing you can do.
I had to consider, you know, he works one day a week for us. What the hell? You know?
Yeah, that's true. But listen, if somebody said, you know, Bill Carroll was the heart and soul of the station, you have to say, okay, that's fine. Fine.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, what are you going to say? No, he's not. Please, come on.
Well, like I said, you know, again, someone who, you know, remotely dials in once a week doesn't really know what's going on around here.
Okay.
So I just consider the source and move on.
There you go.
But
all
anyway,
right, so what
listen,
do we got now?
First,
the restaurants versus
first,
the supervisors.
But
huh?
I will close by saying this. You were great last night when I was listening back. And you really, you and the team were hilarious. I mean, it was really good stuff, and I was honored to be revealed by you.
Well, when you say you and the team were funny, who in particular was the funniest?
Well, everyone but Thompson.
Oh. All right, well, I guess your drinks every Tuesday are off, huh?
Yeah, well, they have been, because L.A. County doesn't let us do anything anymore, so that brings us...
And the big honorable swoosh right into the topic.
In the segue. Here we go.
Oh, what a great segue.
Yeah, so this morning, the California Restaurant Association and attorneys with Mark Garagus, who owns a restaurant downtown L.A., among others, they combined the two lawsuits that were filed against L.A. County about this outdoor dining ban. And so they heard arguments this morning, the judge did. And basically, the judge, believe it or not, sort of sided with the Restaurant Association and with Garagus in that the judge felt that both parties adequately presented their side of the story. They basically said, we can prove, and here's our evidence to prove, that outdoor dining is not connected to the spread of COVID-19. However,
right.
The county, in its argument today, was a little short-sighted in the way they presented their side of things, according to attorneys that I spoke with today. In fact, the judge said, listen, you guys kind of didn't match up here, so I'm going to give you one more week. And actually, they have to file their response and reply by 4 p.m. Friday, but then there'll be another hearing on Tuesday, and the judge will rule. But I asked the attorney today with the Restaurant Association, I said, it sounds like to me maybe the judge is kind of playing the long game here, kind of stretching it out.
Right.
And saying, well, you know, 3 weeks is up. Does it really matter now? Because it's over. And which we don't know if it's going to be over or not. It could be extended. The attorney said, no, actually, this judge is really good, very thorough. And he believes that the judge is just wanting to be absolutely positively sure the county has had every chance possible to defend it.
Right. Well, you know, they have a pretty good attorney on their side by the name of Mark Garagus, too.
Well, yeah. And between Mark and then this Dennis Ellis I've been talking to with the California Restaurant Association, he's pretty sharp. And in fact, he was citing audio that he heard on KFI to help him with his defense, the question that I'd ask Ferrer about specific evidence showing that and that she couldn't provide it. I don't know if you recall that. And she said, I don't have that in front of me, and which everyone thought that was odd. And then when she made the statement the other day that it was more of a manpower issue, when I suggested that why not L.A. County, you know, why couldn't L.A. County sort of punish individual restaurants that were not in compliance and forcing people to wear their masks or whatever, doing it like the Pasadena model. And that's when Ferrer said, well, we don't have the manpower to do that. In essence, admitting if we had the manpower, perhaps we'd be open for business.
I see. Okay. But you know, I don't understand how the city, I mean, the county, you know, closed 31,000 restaurants, and then they're dragged into court and they can't prove why they did it.
And that's precisely the argument that both Garagos' side and the Restaurant Association side is taking. It's just like, listen, and actually the judge, according to Dennis Ellis, the judge said, well, listen, county, you've had how many months now to sort of put this together, and you've been making decisions based on what you say is science, but this is something that should be incredibly obvious if you have it. And what they did is they put up a guy named Dr. Gunzenhauser. And Gunzenhauser has been with the county health department for a while, and he's an MD, and he sort of advises. And apparently his testimony wasn't enough to convince the judge. And
yeah, but you know what? That actually sounds like a 1970s TV show. Then an all-new Gunzenhauser.
Well, I kept thinking more then, like a car. It was more of a car or some sort of
a, you know. Or like a 1970s TV show, right?
The 76 Gunzenhauser.
Yeah.
Well,
then. MacGyver, followed by an all-new Gunzenhauser.
Or Doogie Howser.
Then, Auto Man.
Yeah, so...
all right, so guys, wait. I'm so sorry to interrupt and when it was just getting so titillating.
Oh, Jesus.
But, no, it does look like there's a pretty decent-sized building fire in downtown L.A. right now.
Oh, no.
Looks like there's a lot of trucks and fire hoses pointing at it, and I just wanted to...
Megan?
Bring that to your attention. I'm sure Chris is looking at it. I mean, Steve's looking at it right now.
Is it on NBC, ABC, CBS?
It's
I got it.
Yep,
I got
it's on 4. NBC.
The street is completely blocked, as you see there on the left-hand side of your screen, with the fire coming out of the roof. It is raging.
All right, thank you very much.
Oh, I don't understand cutting away from a fire.
You know,
I don't get
if Tim Lin were doing this, it would have been...
Channel 2 doesn't have it. Channel 4 doesn't have it. Channel 5, let's see if they have it. They don't. Channel 7 does not have it. So, right.
Yeah, no one
all right.
It.
All right, forget it.
Well,
okay. The fire's out.
Gina,
right, we'll
for now on,
it.
Gina, make sure that you have more information before you cut in.
Oh!
All right, Steve, can you stay with us?
Sure.
What? Oh, we're back on already? Wow. All right, KFI AM 640, it's Conway Show. God, it seems like it was like a 30-second break. Are they breaks getting shorter? That's wild. All right, Steve Gregory continues to join us here. Steve Gregory is a terrific reporter here, now being recognized by the other employees here as Employee of the Month. And on this case, so by Friday at 4, the city has to, or the county has to prove
right.
that going to a restaurant eating outdoors can kill you.
They have to prove that there is a nexus between outdoor dining and the spread of COVID-19.
Why don't they just take a picture of Sheila Kuhl and blow it up and just put it right there and go, she ate at a restaurant 10 minutes after she voted for it?
Well, the thing is that I think what that's going to end up being is, oh, I don't know if you heard the audio that was played on John and Ken, though, where
it's
she
great.
Talks about the media is making a big deal out of nothing. And, you know, we as media are focusing on all the wrong things.
Right.
I mean, hypocrisy be damned. But I do have an update on the fire, by the way.
Oh, good. What do we got?
Yeah, so it is a greater alarm structure fire, 506 East 9th Street. It's actually down there where that big fire was, near where those 12 firefighters were injured. But they're in a defensive mode now, which basically means that they're just trying to prevent it from spreading to other buildings. But they've got, I'm counting here, they have the battalion, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They've got like, looks like 20 different engines there.
Are you watching on TV?
No, I'm looking at the fire department. I'm getting intel from the fire department. So,
hey, by the way, if there was a building on fire in New York City and all the local news stations were on, like 2, 4, mm-hmm. 5, 7, and 11, they all would be on the fire. None of them are on the fire.
You know, what is going on with TV news right now? Is it, what is going on? Because I'm in the edit bay. So what is, what's on TV news?
Well, I'll tell you what's on right now. On Channel 11, there's a commercial. On Channel 9's Family Feud. Channel 7, Eyewitness News, is showing a commercial. Channel 5, KTLA, is showing a piece on a break-in. It was captured on TikTok.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
And then Channel 4 is showing a commercial. And Channel 2, CBS, is showing a commercial.
So, it's interesting because one of the things I learned with my ride-along with Tim Lin, that night that we went out together up in the air, we were on a car chase in South L.A. We were just about to head to a car chase. And when he called down about it, because Colton, the guy that was in the back navigating, he heard it on the scanners. And he's like, you know, are we going to go over there? Are we going to head down? They're like, no, we're going to sports now.
That's exactly what Channel 4 just did. They went to Fred Rogan.
So when they go to sports, apparently sports is taboo. No one wants to interrupt sports.
Well, especially when, you know, the king has just signed a 2-year extension.
Sure, whatever.
Yeah. All right, well, I can't see the fire. Fire is, secondhand news. What the hell?
But so this is going to be interesting, Tim, because if the judge rules in the Restaurant Association in Garagos' favor, that will set a precedent that could see other, you know, entities.
Wait, I'm sorry. Hold on. Hold on. Okay, we'll right oh, now they just teased it.
They just tease the fire?
Yeah, they're like, we got a raging fire, but we'll be right back because George Clooney has lost weight.
Or no, he's using the Floby. That was the one I saw today. He uses the Floby. Oh, my God.
It's great. Okay, anyway, so the county has to come back on Friday.
Yeah, so the county's got to come back. And if the judge rules in favor of the restaurants, then you're going to see an interesting precedent because then other entities will begin to challenge based on that.
Sure.
That decision, and you could see a sort of a slow unraveling of the health department's order.
Then now, the schools will challenge, too.
Well, yeah, and then you've got these cities that are now exploring creating their own health departments just to secede from the county. I know that Rex Paris, the mayor up there in Lancaster, I spoke to him yesterday. He's combining, I believe it's Santa Clarita and Palmdale. I think the three towns are talking to create a regional health department.
Right.
And then I think Whittier is talking about partnering with Pasadena Health. And I think it's West Covina that's exploring that its own health department.
I think West Covina is thinking about seceding from L.A. County if they could do that.
Yeah. So I
you
think
laugh at me.
This is I believe that this entire pandemic is going to cause a tectonic shift.
You're right.
In local politics.
I think you're right. Yeah. I think you're exactly right. There's way too much power in five little tiny fingers, you know,
right.
Pushing the no button or the yes button LA County supervisor.
And then do you know who actually has the ultimate control and power over the health order?
It's the governor.
It's not Ferrer.
Who is it?
It's the health officer. It's Dr. Muntu Davis. He is the one that actually signs the health order. It's not Ferrer's an administrator. Muntu is the officer. He is the one that signs off on the order. It's
but how
order.
Does Sheila Kuehl have, in her one vote, she shut down 31,000 restaurants and put 300,000 people out of work?
Well, let's back up here. The board didn't vote to do that. They were voting on a resolution to recommend that the health order be overturned. It was a motion introduced by Catherine Barger and Janice
Hahn. Right, but she could have voted for it.
And even if it had been voted in favor, that still doesn't mean that Davis or Ferrer would have done it. If they still believed because...
Yeah, but then put it on them.
Well, Ferrer, when I asked Ferrer directly who has the ultimate authority when it comes to health decisions, and she said, well, we try to work together, we try to work in harmony, yada, yada, yada. But then I said, okay, at the end of the day... She says, well, if it comes down to a tie or something we're pretty passionate about, the health officer has the final say.
Okay.
So even if they'd gone 5-0 in favor of overturning the ban.
Right, but then put it on him. Put it on the doctor. You know, put it on Ferrer then. All right, but I really appreciate you coming on. Giant stud, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Take care, buddy.
All right, you're the best. Steve Gregory, everybody. KFI AM 640, Conway Show. I've used DoorDash now for the third time, and it's the greatest service ever. I am shocked that they're not advertising on this program. They should be. Talk about them every night. So if you work for DoorDash, phone us up. Because, man, that is a great service. They're always on time, always professional. That's my third time, and just beautiful.
What'd you get?
Great service. What?
What'd you get?
Sharkies.
Ooh.
Yeah. Chicken taquitos. So. And the delivery charge was free, because I think in the first month you get it all for free. And I tipped out the driver $6, which is what they recommended. And he seemed happy, and I'm happy. My wife's eating something. She's happy. So everyone's got a little ding-dong, right?
It's a win-win-win-win.
Right. DoorDash wins because we talk about them. My wife wins. She's eating. I win because I'm eating. And Sharky's is winning because I'm talking about them.
And the driver won because you gave him a nice tip.
Driver's the biggest winner, right?
I'd like to win. How about you DoorDash some taquitos down this way?
I would, but you're not really the employee of the month.
No.
Kind of a shot, huh? Were you bummed you didn't win?
Of course. I thought I deserved it most. Yeah.
I think you probably do. I mean, you've been at the station really a long time, and you've never won it.
Right? 20 years.
You've never won in 20 years.
Well, no, they've never really had it.
Well, wait a minute.
They did it once, and Randy Wang won, and then they stopped. And that is a true story. That is a true story. And people are still ticked about that.
Oh, I'm crying. Great. I'm crying.
That's so awesome. That's funny. That Randy Wang won, and then they said, F it. If he wins, there's no way we're going to continue this.
Did he accept his award in his pajamas?
I think so, actually, yeah.
You know, he used to be our board op here at KFI, and I got a quick Randy Wang story. I got him an interview with Robin Bertolucci, right, to be the board op. He comes in with shorts on and flip-flops and a T-shirt, right? And I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, oh, I got my interview with Robin. I'm like, oh, my God. You're going to wear that into the interview? He says, yeah. I said, can you please run home real quick and change? This isn't that type of station, bub. This is not, where everyone's smoking weed and, freeballing it. It's not going on here. And he goes, I don't have time. So he goes into the interview, and he comes out 15 minutes later. And I'm like, well, how'd you do? And he goes, nailed it. She loved me.
Wow. So confident.
I'm like, wow. I don't have that at all.
I always envied that about him.
Yeah. I got none of that. Every time I come out in an interview, I'm like, well, I'll find something else, I'm sure. Right? I've never, ever come out in an interview and gone, got it. Nailed it. Never once.
got it.
That's a true story. He comes in and goes, nailed it. She loved me.
And then he goes on to get Employee of the Month.
Right.
He nailed that, too.
About a week before he got suspended, might I add.
Was that right? Is that how the timing worked?
Yeah, he was Employee of the Month while he was suspended.
I'm loving this.
Only Randy Wang can pull that off.
That's right. All right, very good. The EDD. It gets resolved, or at least for one woman in the Inland Empire, right?
It's a frustrating scenario we have been reporting on for months. People lose their jobs in the pandemic. They have been fighting to collect their unemployment benefits. Inland Empire Bureau Chief Rob McMillan tells us about one woman's seesaw battle with money that disappeared from her account, went back in, and then went missing again.
Ugh. It's very frustrating.
Loretta Sharp first applied for unemployment benefits with the...
That sounds like a great country singer, right?
Loretta Sharp.
Dolly Parton and Loretta Sharp
first applied for unemployment benefits with the EDD back in April. She got a debit card with $300 in benefits being automatically deposited every 2 weeks.
Wow. He's rolling, going high, rolling the high dice.
Everything was fine.
Yeah.
And then on August 22nd, I checked my balance on my card, and it said that...
Where'd you check it?
Caesar's Palace.
Just happened to be there.
A cash withdrawal in the amount of $1,000 had been made.
Uh-oh.
She says Bank of America told her the withdrawal was made from an ATM in Fountain Valley. B of A...
Who calls it that?
M in Fountain... Made from an ATM in Fountain Valley.
Who emphasized all three of those letters?
ATM and...
I got it out of an ATM. All right. Where are you going? Down to the ATM.
And found...
Not to the ATM. You imagine
ATM
that?
And...
It's like, I went to 7-Eleven, picked up a bag of chips and a soda, and then I need money, so I went to the ATM.
Fountain Valley. B of A told her they'd credit her the $1,000 while they investigated.
All right.
Then about a week later came notice that the investigation was complete and her $1,000 credit would be permanent.
Oh.
But then came this third letter on October 3rd.
Saying that they were closing my case and that they were taking the money back.
Oh, God.
And then next day, the $1,000 adjustment was actually made.
She says when she called B of A, she got this response.
A fraud was so rampant, they were going to take back monies from everybody's account.
Wow.
And they would get in touch with me later.
2 months later, and as of this morning, there was still no response.
Had to actually borrow money from a family member.
Last week.
By the way, that's really tough to do. You know, when you're borrowing money from a family member. I remember I had to borrow money from my mom. I think I was like 32 at the time, right? Or 31. And I called her on a Friday. I need to borrow $600. And I called her on a Friday. I talked to her for about 25 minutes, hung up, never had the guts to ask her. I called her on Saturday, talked to her for about an hour, never found an opening I could slide in there. And I called her on Sunday. And she goes, wow, you're calling me 3 days in a row. I'm like, yeah, I know. I need to borrow money. And this is what I heard. I said, yeah, Mom, you know, I need to borrow a little money. I thought the phone got disconnected, right? It was just dead silence. And that dead silence seemed like it lasted for like 20 minutes. And she goes, for what? I'm like, car and a little bit of rent. She goes, how much do you need? I'm like, $600. I said, Mom, I haven't asked you for anything like since I was in like third grade, you know, where I wanted to get a fishing pole for my birthday. Since then, I've been pretty good about not asking. So she lent me the $600. I paid her back like, you know, 3 weeks later. But man, is it hard to ask a family member to borrow money? It's impossible. I know Gina knows what it's like. You know,
that's
really
true. and they always ask the same question. The same one-worded question after you say that. I need to borrow some money. Borrow? So am I planning on seeing this again, or what are we doing?
That's right.
So when people say, oh, you're so sweet. You know, I helped put a roof on my mom's house. I gave my dad my car.
Sure.
Like, I was like, oh, no. This doesn't even begin to pay back what those people have done for me.
I know. It is tough. So I know what that lady's going through. KFI AM 640, Conway Show. And don't forget that Pastathon. That is a cool thing. It's at pastathon.com. And we're raising money for the kids that have, you know, no food. None. So we're going to have an update at 7 o'clock and an update at 9 o'clock. And Michelle will add all the money. Michelle Cube. By the way, she's the point person here. And if it wasn't for her, I don't think we'd be doing this. So all those kids have Michelle Cube to thank for this. So at 7 o'clock, we'll have an update. And at 9 o'clock, we'll have another update. And that's cool. We'll be able to, you know, play that that cool news bed, right? That music behind it. All right, very good. There's a lot of people out there are, you know, wondering about their schools, wondering about the activity in their schools. And I read this online, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I read online that 92% of schools worldwide are back in session. Well, why not L.A.? Right? All right, here's the high school sports have been delayed.
It's really amazing. There are a lot of questions, but very few answers right now for our young athletes. The California Interscholastic Federation, which oversees high school sports in the state, announced that a return to full practice and competition has been delayed until at least next year at the earliest.
Oh, my God. It's just really dumb, right? I mean, I can prove to you how stupid this is. I'll show you a stat that I got from a buddy of mine, a guy named Brad Butterworth, right? That's a cool name. And he shared some stats with me on athletics and who's getting sick in athletics and who's not. And you wouldn't believe what they've discovered. Of the 207 schools, 30,000 students, 16,000 practices throughout the United States, and 4,000 contests in September, 271 cases reported, only 5 cases linked to school contact. 5 cases in the 4,000 games that they played. That's incredible, right? But yet, they keep delaying and delaying and delaying these games, and there's no reason to do it. Absolutely none. According to Rob Younger here, head of the Oregon Coaches Association, 90 to 95% of games played each week, 10,000 football games have been played, 790,000 players up to a few weeks back, and the games that were not played due to COVID were not traced to sporting practices or competitions. So there's no reason to delay. Here's something out of Arizona. For volleyball there, there's been 739 varsity matches played in Arizona. 99% played without COVID cancellation. 99%. 13 cancellations affecting 7 schools in 740 games. For football in Arizona, and there's been 290 varsity games played. 94% played without COVID cancellation. And the list goes on and on and on about how safe it is to go back and play athletics. It's incredible, right? And I don't know, you know, the LA County is going to get sued again, this time probably by coaches. But here's the local data. I believe this is for the state of Washington. It could be Oregon. I think it's Washington. No, it is Oregon. Okay, it's Oregon. Oregon, okay. 60 high school coaches. Programs average 8 weeks of structured workouts. 2,263 total athletes participated in both indoor and outdoor activities. 9 athletes tested positive for COVID. That's 0.0039%. 5 coaches tested positive. That's 0.002%. And 14 combined cases between both groups. That's 0.006. And yet, they keep canceling. Here's a California stat for you. California's current situation. How many coaches have been diagnosed with COVID-19 since working back at campus? And 87% have zero. 87% of coaches have zero. 10% have one. So 97% of campuses had zero or one coach infected. 87% had zero. How many students have been affected? All right, well, let's look at this. The California's current situation, 75% have zero and 17% have one. So between the two, it's 83%. No, 93%. 93% have zero or one. And yet they keep canceling these games.
The CIF is awaiting guidance from the California Department of Public Health, which postponed issuing its updated youth sports guidance due to the surge of coronavirus cases. All fall sports and regional championships have been canceled. I spoke with Sierra Canyon High head football coach John Ellington tonight about the decision.
Jim, I also have to say we've been out there for 8 months, practicing responsibly, social distancing, wearing masks. Even when these kids are working out, they're wearing masks. They're working hard. And I do feel like, hey, I'll be honest, I'm a person in my personal and professional life that has taken this virus very seriously, and it scares the hell out of me. And, you know, every day I try to find a way to keep my family safe and to keep these kids safe. But I do feel like when we're out there on the field doing it right and keeping distance and wearing masks and
let them play,
you know, taking temperature checks and doing questionnaires, they're probably as safe as they probably can be when they're out there.
They are.
Coach, what are the life lessons you will tell your players that they are and should be learning at this critical time?
There's uphill challenges, and it doesn't always go exactly how we want. And I challenged my kids probably 9-10 months ago to use this as an opportunity to make yourself better and to find a way to improve yourself, because that's the only thing you can handle. And, you know, this is something that's very tough on these guys, but it probably won't be the toughest thing that they see in their life.
And, of course, we will have more on that for you. But when you think about what Coach is doing, he has his youngsters, their best interests at heart, and the youngsters feel the same way as he does.
Wait, what? Wait a minute. This doesn't make sense.
And, of course, we will have more on that for you. But when you think about what Coach is doing, he has his youngsters, their best interests at heart, and the youngsters.
Okay, Jim Hill wasn't listening to what the coach said. That's what happened. Jim Hill had a stock question that he was going to ask the coach when the coach stopped talking, and Jim wasn't listening to the coach, because the coach said the athletes are fine, we're taking precautions, and we should be playing football. And Jim, instead of saying, well, I agree with you, or I don't agree with you, or, you know, what do you think the plan should be, Jim went into a stock question.
Coach, what are the life lessons you will tell your players that they are and should be learning at this critical time?
And the coach should have been like, wait a minute, what? I just told you they're safe and we should be playing ball. Oh, my God.
Sorry.
All right. All right. Jane Wells is going to stay with us. KFI AM at 640. It is the Conway Show. Before we get back to Jane Wells, we have an update for everybody with the Pastathon. Yeah.
It's the 10th annual KFI Pastathon.
Big dog.
Go to pastathon.com to donate now.
Calculating donations.
Please stand by.
All right, here we are. $144,235 and 26,760 pounds of pasta and sauce. And our goal is to add another $10,000 in cash by our next update at 9 p.m. So if you can, donate. Go to pastathon.com. Pastathon.com. Or any smart and final in California, Nevada, or Arizona. All right. Jane Wells is with us, and she said she has the funniest and most amazing story ever. What's going on?
Well, so Santa has had to deal with COVID this year because Santa's in a vulnerable age group. So there is a group called the Fraternal Organization of Real Bearded Santas, Forbes. There's about 600 of them. The head guy is named Rick Irwin. He lives out in Hemet. He's been a Santa for 18 years. He is perfect. These guys, get this, during this 1 month, 5 weeks or whatever, they can make 20 or 30 grand just during that time. He can make $200 an hour, and he'll work like 150 hours. Yeah. So, but he's like top notch. Laguna Niguel uses him, all this kind of stuff. Well, this year, of course, what are the malls going to be open? Are they going to be closed? It looked like all these Santas were going to be out of work. And in fact, get this, Santa had a clause in his contract, which said if there was no vaccine, all in-person stuff would be out. So everybody's had to pivot. Santa's now gone virtual to do all these virtual things. He's behind plexiglass at the mall. He's at the Glendale Galleria where the county said, oh, he's got to be outside 5 days ago. And so they had to spend a few grand to move him outside. But Rick Irwin's group in late summer approached the Trump administration – asking that Santa and seasonal workers be on the front lines of getting the vaccine,
wow,
along with healthcare workers. And in exchange, they would help spread the word on the vaccine on Operation Warp Speed. Because back in 2009 with H1N1, the Obama administration gave Santas the vaccine. So he was talking to a guy in the Trump administration named Michael Caputo.
Right.
And he, this guy said, we'll do this. The president's excited about it. Well, Caputo's the guy who had some personal problems. Now his family's blaming it on head and neck cancer.
Oh, my God.
He got kicked out of a high. And so it was all, he's maybe he has a little issues. Ding dong. So he's gone. And so so Irwin says the White House never called back, quit returning calls, quit. This whole idea of giving Santa a vaccine disappeared. And so he said, it's been up to Santa to make this happen.
Wow.
And these guys are doing everything. There's one organization that's putting Santa in a snow globe and telling kids that a magical elf accidentally trapped Santa in the snow globe, and that's why they can't get to him. So they're doing all they can to try and keep Christmas alive. But that Trump administration, that is like the weirdest story I have heard in a while.
Right. Jane, well, I don't know this, Jane Wells, but do you have children?
I have two grown children, and I have one grandson, but he's over in Japan. I'm not able to see him right now.
Okay. Well, if your kids were, you know, your grown kids, if they were, you know, 7 and 8 years old or, you know, 4 and 6, whatever, wouldn't you want to pass this year on having your kids photographed with Santa and plexiglass? Would you want to just forget it?
Well, I think, you know, kids still, it might be the one thing that keeps the magic and the happiness alive. And
yeah,
so at
right.
the Glendale Galleria, Santa's wearing a mask, but he's 6 feet away. And the way they do the picture, it looks like you're right next to each other. So they're trying to do things. I think, look, every family is different, but we are so sick of this year. And maybe at least with Christmas, you can try and pretend for a few minutes that the world's not going to hell.
You know what? There's going to be a lot of tears and a lot of people crying and getting very emotional as 11:59 and 59 hit on New Year's Eve.
No kidding. You know? No kidding. I'm filling in for John and Ken that night. The whole show is going to be about burning down 2020.
Oh, good. Excellent. And by the way, we did a show on replacing the song because Auld Lang Syne, that's the most depressing song in the world.
I hate that song. How did that get to be a song for us?
I don't know. I have no idea, but it should be thrown in the trash because, you know, at the end of the year, it should be a celebration. Mondo, what was the song you picked?
Actually, this year's a perfect...
Beastie Boys.
I was going to say it's a perfect song for this year. Oh, Beastie Boys.
Yeah, Fight for
you
your
got
right.
the right.
You got the right.
Fight,
yeah,
for, your
fight
right.
for your right.
To party. Yeah.
And it won unanimously. Everybody voted for it. So
I don't remember it that way.
Everybody did.
Either.
Everybody.
My vote was raindrops keep falling on your head. Something cool, right?
Yeah. But Auld Lang Syne is perfect for this year because so we will throw it out along with the year.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, throw it out like my old heart.
Sorry. That was wild, man. This guy, he's had a roll.
What a year.
Heart, yeah. Well, look, what a year for Mondo. It's been a great year for Mondo. He's got a heart. He had a new kidney. He's back working again. He's cancer-free. He can eat what he wants. It's been a banner year. Man, you should hope for the next pandemic, Mondo. You really kick ass in pandemics.
I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah. All right, Jane Wells, thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it. We'll catch you on the flip side.
Take care.
All right, take care. There she goes. Jane Wells, everybody. Ding dong with her.
Ding dong!
Dong! I'm sorry. I was playing that. I was trying to listen to it in queue, and I didn't realize I was playing it over Jane Wells. So I apologize to Miss Wells.
Ding dong!
Ding dong with her, right? All right, what is buddy saying here?
Oh, happy Hanukkah. It's almost
Dr.
here.
Drew.
Festival of Lights. Something to look forward to.
All your microphone, MB. We're going to take care of that.
All right. Dr. Drew gets so pissed at news reporters and anchors who are trying to terrify the hell out of everybody. He's sort of like Dr. Ray, where he's like, look, it's not coming to an end. Hospitals, I think it was Alex Michelson said there's only 68 beds left in L.A. County, 68 emergency beds left. And Dr. Drew is like, don't say it that way. Hospitals are that's their job, to get, you know, bigger and smaller and to accommodate people. They know how to do it. Don't tell the audience there's 68 beds left. That scares the hell out of them. If there's 70 people, they'll take care of them. If there's 150, they'll take care of them. That's what hospitals do. All right? And people are not staying that long in hospitals. And I think we're going to be fine. I listen to Dr. Ray Kasheri every Monday and every Thursday. And he's been right all along with everything he said. So tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, Dr. Ray Kasheri comes on with us to try to calm everybody down. All right, we're looking to get to another $10,000 to the total here. And the totals have been great so far. I'm very impressed by the pasta totals. $144,235 and 26,760 pounds of pasta and sauce. And the goal by 9 o'clock is to get to $154,000. So if you go to pastathon.com or just any smart and final, and we'll try to get to that goal. Got to feed these kids. These kids are broke, man.
Hey, my name's John. I'm a singer in a band called the Goo Goo Dolls. And I love listening to Conway every single night. Every night I can, I listen to him. And I listen to it on my computer when I'm out of town, on my app, on my KFI app when I'm out of town. Because he's amazing. He's hysterically funny. He needs to write a book.
Wow. That's the lead singer of the Goo Goo Dolls. It was just on TV in New York. They opened the entertainment for the lighting of the tree ceremony in Rockefeller Center. Gene, if you ever been to that, you lived in New York. Did you ever go to that?
I did. No, I didn't. Because, you know, that's kind of a tourist thing, Tim.
Oh, and you're like, you know, a native. You're like born there.
I'm local.
What, your dad play for the Rangers?
Yeah. You remember that.
God almighty.
Well, that's the thing. I only went to, the cool places you want to go, and there was somebody visiting in town, but never went there for the tree lighting.
I bet you lived blocks from there.
I did, yeah.
And you never went.
I mean, when I was in high school, I went and, ice skated at Rockefeller Center.
Right.
But then I'm too cool for that. I'm a local.
Right, I get it.
Yeah.
Did you spend a lot of time in what are they called, Soho District?
Of course I was in Soho.
Yeah. And
which is funny. It butts right up against Chinatown, and people who tell you they live in Soho, they don't.
Oh, they live in Chinatown?
They do.
Oh.
Just FYI.
I love the Little Italy section of New York.
It is awesome.
It really is. Cool. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that, you know, I think it was Carolla and Kimmel tried to, you know, create a little Italy or the Italian fest here. And are they still doing that or not?
Doesn't seem like that was the Feast of San Gennaro, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
And yeah, they did that for a bunch of years. And I'm so sad that doesn't happen anymore.
Well, there should be a Little Italy here.
100%.
Right? There's a Little Ethiopia here.
Yep. There's a
little
Filipino town.
Yeah.
Koreatown. There's Little Armenia. There's Chinatown. There's Japantown. Downtown, yeah.
But there's no Irish town and no Little Italy.
That's right.
That's crazy, right? In a place that has so many great Italians, and there's no Little Italy.
Well, Molly Malone's is close to Tom Bergen's.
Yeah, that's true.
That helps.
I mean, that whole area could be considered, Irish and, take the eyes, Irish and Italy and combine them.
That'd be great.
But when I was watching this, the tree lighting ceremony at Rockefeller Center, and my guy, Johnny Resnick with the Goo Goo Dolls, has a brand new song that he debuted. I love it. I love it.
You've heard that song though before, right?
Yeah, I've heard it before.
Yeah,
but I mean, I've never heard him sing it before.
That, me either. Tom Petty, I think, was the original
singer. I think you're right. This is something that most people don't know about me. I'm not sure anyone cares either. But I have never in my life had a tamale.
What?
Never in my life have I eaten a tamale.
Wait a second. You're an L.A. native.
Right.
Tamales are, not only are they everywhere, but around Christmas, people have to put in reservations 3 months in advance to get their Christmas tamales. You've been to outdoor food markets and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You've never had a tamale.
I had to ask Mondo if you eat the husk on the outside.
Oh, God. Mondo's going to come through that glass.
And I guess you don't.
No, you don't.
You should try it, though.
They're incredible.
No, try the outside part.
Oh, yeah.
I asked Mondo, I said, you know, maybe I'll pick one up, on my way home from, like, I don't know, Taco Bell or Del Taco or El Pollo Loco. And he's like, yeah, well, okay, you probably, you know, pick one up. But he said, I there's some people in town that make really authentic, beautiful tamales. And I guess they're a big deal for the holidays. Is that right?
Yeah, Christmas tamales, yep. Right, Mondo?
Well, they're big on Christmas. But, yeah, you can have them all year round, though.
Are they different on Christmas? They put something else different in them?
No, just made more with love. But no, they pick them up for the holidays because you're going to see family. So it's a great way for to share with family and stuff. So that's why I order them a lot. Yeah,
a tamale.
There's a place in East L.A. called Liliana's that has a line that goes for blocks to pick
really?
Them up. Yeah.
Have you eaten there?
Oh, yeah. That's one of my favorite spots.
Yeah, I was with one of our friends, a guy named Detective Rudy Alvarez with the LAPD. And him and Andy Heredero said that they know the best Mexican restaurant in L.A. I think I told the story before. And they said, you want to go sometime? I said, yeah, sure. And they called me like a couple weeks later. They go, okay, we're going to go Saturday at 1 o'clock. I said, okay, I'll meet you down there. And when two LAPD detectives, both born and raised in L.A., say that they have the best, they both agree that that restaurant is the best Mexican restaurant in the world. And again, I forget what it's called. It's downtown L.A. Then you know it's good, right? Because they both agree. So I go down there. They both order. And I say, I'll have the taquitos. Mm. And Andy said, can you please bring him some crayons and a little tiny puzzle, like a map with that? And I said, what are you talking about? He goes, you order like a 12-year-old. I told you, we're the best Mexican restaurant in perhaps the world. And you're getting taquitos? I said, I love taquitos. Because that's what kids eat. Kids eat taquitos. I had taquitos tonight for dinner. And I feel like a kid. They're a great meal. You can't beat a good taquito.
I mentioned that.
Go ahead. You should try a tamale taquito or taquito tamale.
Ooh.
Like wrapped inside?
Oh, yeah. Don't they make them, Mondo?
Yeah.
Mondo's
never
really
heard of good. It. You should order one next time
that.
You're out.
Yeah, you should ask for that.
Yeah, ask for that. Tell the waitress you want that. Tell them you want two of them.
Yeah, tell you want the taquito.
Tell them you want extra taquito. Husk too. And a side of husk on the side. Yeah.
Extra husk on the side. Yeah, that's great, man. All right, very good. What were you going to say, Gina?
I told Corolla that you're a big fan of taquitos and. I should really get that audio because he took you to the woodshed. He was not impressed with your diet.
What did he complain about?
Taquitos. I know. Taquitos of all the Mexican food. I said, I know. He eats like he's at a kid's birthday party. We all know. And because I told him your story about how you got those potato taquitos when you thought you were getting chicken. And he's like, wait. He ordered taquitos? Yeah, he really had a lot. He handed you your A.
That's great, man. Well, look, I'm not embarrassed. I think a lot of people listening right now are in the same boat. You can't beat a good taquito. And I think I started eating them when I was in Little League because the Little League snack stand, it either had hot dogs or taquitos. And they came three taquitos with that green sauce you couldn't identify. It was sort of like a thick gravy with a little tiny bit of avocado taste to it. And that was when I started. So I think I like when I, look, I'm a guy who has the same haircut since third grade. When I like something, I stick with it. I'm all about that bass,
about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, about that bass, bass. Yeah, it's pretty clear, I ain't no size two, but I can shake it like I'm supposed to do.
I was watching TV, I was watching, oh, it's Conway Show, who cares? I was watching TV at the Rockefeller Center, and there was a woman singing, and I asked Mondo, I said, is that Rebecca Black who sang It's Friday, Friday? And he said, no, you idiot, that's Meghan Trainor. And I said, Meghan Trainor, why do I know that name? And he's like, oh my God. He said, we played the song a million times. And I go, oh, okay, now I know the song. I get it now. All right? I get it. I get it. Let's crank it up. Here it is. All about that bass.
No trouble. I'm all about that bass. About that bass. No trouble. I'm all about that bass.
About that bass.
No trouble.
That's a cool song. And then she had another one, right? I wish you wish you were I. Didn't you? You wish you were me. Wasn't that another song she sang?
Yeah, something.
I think it's like
I wish you were me. Yeah, you wish you were me.
Yeah, you wish you were me. Or and by the way, I don't wish that was her.
Me too. Though. That's what it's called.
Yeah. Oh, it's called Me Too?
Yeah.
Let's hear it. Crank it up.
Oh, I got a. It's right here. It's by Meghan Trainor. It's off of one of her albums. It's a really, really good song. You should check it out.
All right, let's hear it. Ow! Crank it up. Let's go. I got this great letter from a guy named Frank Blua. He is the coach out at Antelope Valley College for 40 years. This guy coached at Antelope Valley College, and I met him through his daughter who runs Pepsi on the West Coast, and we took a tour of SoFi Stadium at the same time, and she said her dad listens to the radio, and so I had something like a shirt and an autograph, and he sent me a really cool letter, and I like to read letters that, you know, instead of just, hey, thanks for the shirt, you know, Frank, he wrote it. I want to read it on the air. It says, I want to thank you for the autographed T-shirt, KFI T-shirt, and the wanted poster showing you and the posse. Your message was kind. You're a man of your word. I also want to thank you for the on-air shout-out several weeks ago. My family and friends couldn't believe it when they heard it on the radio. It was a bright light in an otherwise dim 2020 and something to always remember. Also, my daughter, Ashley, really enjoyed your intelligence and humor. I don't know if I displayed any of either one of those that day. During the backstage tour of SoFi Stadium. And she will always cherish that day. Oh, that's cool. I'm sending you along an AVC cap, which I'm wearing right now. Antelope Valley College. Get it up, Antelope Valley. He didn't write that. I included that. I taught at Antelope Valley College for 40 years. It being my only job out of college, I coached football for 27 years, baseball for 10 years. I retired in 2017. I've been an avid listener of KFI since way back. I used to love listening to Phil Henry and remember when the Dodgers were broadcast on KFI. Wow, that was a long time ago. Those were the days. And now the evenings are yours, but I still listen. I have one question for you. Do you still have a lot to learn? Because that's what the song says. He's a little lad with a lot to learn, and he's always having a lot of fun. Take good care and all the best. No, it says good care, and all the best all the time to you, Frank Blewett. That's pretty cool. Frank, you're an upstanding guy, and congratulations. You touched a lot of kids. Coaching football is when kids go from being boys to men, and they and high school or college, when you go through high school or college football, it's almost like the military. You really you learn so much about life. And you've had your fingers and hands on so many kids. I can't imagine how satisfying that is when you retire. So congratulations, Frank. Hope happy retirement, and we'll catch you on the flip side when this thing's over. All right, we're live on KFI AM 640. KFI AM 640. It's Conway program. And we continue here. At 9 o'clock, we're going to have a huge update on the Pastathon. All right? We're trying to get it to $1 million by 9. And right now we're at 144,000. So the next hour we need to raise about $850,000. We can do it. We can do it. No, we're trying to add 10,000 to that. So we have 144,000. Mondo, please. I'm trying to do this. Okay, but every time it has to be the music bed? Every time we mention it, we have to play the music bed?
You have to.
Why?
It's protocol. Oh,
they worked hard on it. Yeah. Huh?
It's protocol, and they worked very hard on it.
Okay.
A lot of hours went into this.
All right. All right. Here's the music bed. That's the end of it. Here's the beginning of it.
It's the 10th annual KFI Pastathon. Go to pastathon.com to donate now.
Calculating donations.
Please stand by.
And we have $144,235 raised so far and 26,760 pounds of pasta and sauce! Said play it. The whole thing?
Every second, Ted.
You said play it. Don't swear at me. You said play it. Oh, I stop after the mention? Oh, my God. All right. Anyway, if you go to pastathon.com, we're raising money for a very good cause here. Very good cause. Kids that are starving, right? The pandemic has hit you hard, right? It's hit a lot of people hard, but it's really hit them hard. And I hate to say this, but because it's so true, I want to try to sell this to you because it is so important. There are people right now, there are parents putting their kids to bed, and the kids are crying or upset because they're going to sleep again and they're hungry, right? So as hard as the pandemic and the COVID and coronavirus, the whole run has hit you, there are families that have been hit a lot harder. Kids are going to bed tonight, and they're crying because they're hungry. It's going on right now in L.A., right now. So if you go to pastathon.com, maybe we can take care of a little of that. All right? Pastathon.com. You'll feel better after you donate. You really will. All right, we're live on KFI AM 640, and let's see here. I was going to mention something. There's a rumor going around, but I'm not comfortable in mentioning it yet. There's a rumor about things that are going around.
Is this about my teeth whitening again?
Well, look, you can go too white. You know?
Yeah, but I've always loved, that Real Housewives / TV anchor look. That's right. Like, it's blinding, and you just want that so bad.
Right, but the problem with going too white is that that's the first thing people see and the only thing people see. And then they start talking about it.
Oh.
You know? Like, oh, man, she went, they're almost like see-through.
They're almost like blue. They're so
right.
White.
Yeah, right. Almost like rainbow, like a sheen coming off them.
So do you think I should just like swish some coffee around in my mouth? Because this was very expensive.
Yeah. I would just do you have one of those pens where you, if you make a take a nick out of a piece of furniture, you can color it in?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just with that brown pen, just go over the teeth.
Okay.
And wipe it off with a little rag. You'll be good to
go.
Well,
I don't want to look like Ben Franklin.
No. But it's just way too white right now. Oh, I mean, especially when, you know, in the summer when you get tan, it's like a jack-o'-lantern.
Okay.
All right. All right. Anyway, so we're looking at, you know, these restaurants are fighting like hell to try to stay open. And the county has until Friday to fight this and to keep these restaurants closed. The judge said, now you've got to show us proof on Friday that eating outdoors at a restaurant can kill you. And that's going to be difficult for them to do. All right. Bellio just sent this to me. This is what I was talking about. I said there's a rumor going around. And Bellio just sent this to me and said, it's not a rumor. It's true. Okay. So now I can talk about it. There are 350,000 Californians. 350,000 people right now who live in California are facing more power cuts tonight as 75-mile-an-hour winds and dry weather threaten to spark wildfires. If you feel like right now, you know, you just feel like you're sort of hungover, you're dry, your hands are dry, your skin's dry, and you feel tired, it's because the humidity outside is so low. And if you don't have a humidifier in your room to keep you moist at night when you breathe, you're going to be losing a lot more water. So, like right now, for instance, in Burbank, California, the humidity is 21%. 21%. And humidity in your room should be between 40 and 60%. And I don't know anybody in radio that doesn't have a humidifier. I know Gina has one, Bellio has one, Angel's got one, Mondo's got one, and you have to have one if you want to stay, you know, healthy, because it's so dry out here. We're living in a desert that you really, I mean, it affects every aspect of your life. So you got to get a humidifier, right? They're not that expensive, and you'll feel better. You just will. Like when you go to, like, let's say you go to, Washington or Oregon or Canada, and you have 4 or 5 drinks at night, and you wake up the next day, you're like, oh, I feel pretty good, because you're breathing really clean air that has a lot of humidity in it. But here in L.A., really dirty air with no humidity, and that dries you out. That's how you get hungover. So get a humidifier, especially if you're on the sauce, right? And you can't shake it. Not talking about anybody in particular, by the way. So utilities have been warned that they may cut electricity to more than 350,000 customers, and SoCal Edison is considering shutting off power to more than 270,000 customers. San Diego Gas and Electric, 88,000 customers. Outages are a precaution during the windy period. Gusts could top 75 miles an hour. And winds nearing 50 miles an hour are possible across the region. National Weather Service has just issued a warning for dangerous fire conditions all the way through Saturday because of dry Santa Ana winds, low humidity, and really thick grass. So keep your eye out for, you know, people out there wanting to start fires, and get some introduce humidity to your life. Either by turning the shower on really hot and keeping the door open. That's an excellent way to do it, by the way. If you're at a hotel and you have to pay the water bill, crank up that open that shower all the way to hot, keep that door open, and, man, humidity is going to go through the roof. Through the roof. I recommend you do that in Vegas, by the way. Not keep it on all night, but just it's a great way to introduce some humidity into your otherwise dry hotel room. KFI AM 640, Conway Show. And we have a letter from Eric Garcetti. I think this just came out. Bellio, did this just come out?
I have to dial her back.
Oh, that's right. Just pretend you're her, okay? Bellio, did this just come out?
Yes, it did.
Yeah, did, okay.
Yeah.
All right, this is a public order under the City of Los Angeles Emergency Authority. Right? By the way, this is one of the things that somebody had said to me earlier today, that there's going to be stronger stay-at-home orders. I don't know if this is it or not, though. The coronavirus, I'll just read it to you. This is from Mayor Eric Garcetti. Coronavirus is widespread in our community, and the latest data from the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health shows that more Angelenos are infected than ever before. Our city is now close to a devastating tipping point, beyond which the number of hospitalized patients would start to overwhelm our hospital system, in turn risking needless suffering and death. These unfortunate facts about the spread of COVID-19 in our city mean that we must resume some of the more effective restrictive measures we instituted in the spring. Now, he says here, it continues, again, from Mayor Eric Garcetti. Mayor Eric Garcetti. The way to avoid that dreaded scenario is clear. We must refrain from gathering with people from outside our household whenever possible. Angelenos have shown what is more possible when we, it's more possible when we cooperate, listen, and protect our family, friends, and neighbors, and favorite businesses. The most recent surge in COVID-19 cases presents us with an opportunity to work together, again, to reduce the spread and flatten the curve. We must minimize contact with others as much as possible, even if you believe that the virus does not present a particular threat to you. Consider the impact of your choices and the impact it has on others. Because COVID-19 can be transmitted by someone who is unaware that they are carrying it, one person could unknowingly infect many people if she or he is not careful. The better we are at staying apart, the sooner we'll be able to come back together. That's one of those stupid slogans at the end. Under the provisions of Section 231, the Los Angeles City Charter and Charter 3 section of the Los Angeles Administration Code, I hereby declare that the Safer LA Order, dated June 2020, is temporarily withdrawn and suspended by this order, which is necessary for the protection of life and property in the city of Los Angeles. And then it goes on to explain what the rules are going to be, and sort of like some legal speak there. But I'll give you bullet points here. All travel, including without limitation, travel on foot, bicycle, scooter, motorcycle, automobile, or public transit is prohibited, subject to the exceptions in paragraph 5. Here's paragraph 5. Here are the exceptions. You can travel. People may lawfully leave their residence while this order is in effect only to engage in the following activities. All businesses operating under any of the following exemptions must comply with all applicable protocols set forth by the state of California. Essential activities are exempt. Certain business operations and activities are exempt from the provisions of this order. And then it goes on to say persons engaging in any of these essential activities are required to have reasonable social distance and wear facial coverings. This includes maintaining a distance of at least 6 feet from others and frequently washing your hands with soap and water and covering coughs, sneezes, and wear a mask. All healthcare operations, including hospitals, clinics, dentists, pharmacies, pharmaceutical and biotech companies, medical and scientific research labs, healthcare suppliers, these are all exempt, by the way. Mental and behavior health providers, substance use providers, support groups, physical therapists, chiropractors, cannabis dispensers, you can stay open. Blood and blood product donation organizations and related healthcare services. Well, basically, this paragraph is all about healthcare plus people who sell weed. All of a sudden, they become pharmacists, right? All right, number two, grocery workers, grocery stores can stay open, water retailers. How many water retailers do we have in this town? Five? People just sell water. Farm and produce stands, supermarkets, convenience stores, warehouse stores, food banks, and other establishments engaged in retail of sale of canned food, dry goods, fresh fruits and vegetables, pet food and medication supply, fresh and frozen meats, fish and poultry. And then it goes on to say here, and other household consumer products necessary to maintain the safety, sanitation, and essential operation of residents. This includes stores that sell beer, wine, and liquor. You can stay open. Retail food markets, including but not limited to grocery stores, convenience stores, liquor stores, retail locations. You can stay open. And I'm just scanning this. It's rather long. I think it's 26 pages. Let's see if there's anything else in here. Organizations, businesses provide food, shelter, and social services can stay open. Another group of people that can stay open. Newspapers, television news, radio, magazine, podcast, and journalism, and music, film, television production, after adopting the L.A. County Department of Health's reopening protocol. Music, film, and television production. Gas stations can stay open. Auto and motorcycle parts supplies. I guess this is everybody, right? It sounds like it. Banks, credit unions, financial institutions, you can stay open. So can insurance companies and pawn shops. Pawn shop, all right. Hardware and building supplies, you can stay open. Day labor centers, nurseries, plumbers, electricians, custodial. I mean, everybody's falling under this. I don't understand what this letter is. HVAC, carpenters, day laborers, Bellio, gardeners, property managers.
Did you say Bellio?
Yeah, it says Bellio in here.
Oh, wow. Specific.
Yeah, it says morticians, moving services, Bellio, HVAC installers, carpenters, day laborers, landscapers, gardeners, property managers, leasing agents, private security personnel. It's everybody's under this thing. Well, I don't understand the letter. If everybody can go and work, I don't get it. Educational institutes that can stay open. Private K through 12 schools that have already been permitted. Colleges, universities. So that's everybody. Colleges and universities. Okay, laundromats, dry cleaners, and laundry service providers. Are these businesses that can stay open? I think they are. There's 12 pages of this. All right, here's another group of people that can stay open. Airlines, taxis, ride-sharing services, car rental companies, private transportation, individuals that truck transport, provide logistical support. You can stay open. I don't understand who's closing here. Home-based care can stay open for disabled persons, seniors, adults, and children. It sounds like everyone can stay open. You got to stay home, but you can also stay open. All right. Well, very good. KFI AM 640, it's Conway Show. Ding dong with you. What a party we've got going here in L.A., huh? So essentially, everybody has to stay home, but every business can do what they want, essentially. Right?
I mean, no customers.
That's right.
Okay.
But I've not found a single exception to the rule here. I found almost everything is allowed to stay open. Mayor Eric Garcetti released a letter tonight. It said targeted safer at home order, and then it goes on to talk about how we're all going to die. And then it says everything's got to close with the exception of, right? And then there's 12 pages of exceptions. And it says here, where did I see it? Okay. It says there's also going to be a fine if you get caught, you know, I don't know, not doing something. But it says all individuals, let me go back here for a second. Again, the letter is 12 pages long. I'm not going to read the whole thing in single space, not even double space. Okay. You got to wash your hands, covering your cough and all that stuff. Children under the age of 2, those at risk of suffocation and people in certain disabilities are not required to wear face covering. Notwithstanding, The above exceptions, all individuals over the age of 16 traveling into the city of Los Angeles from another state or another county must complete and submit online a traveler form upon arrival. Show me your papers. That's where we are. Acknowledging that they have read and understood the state of California's travel advisory, failure to submit the form is punishable by fine up to $500. So you have to, if you're going to travel into the state of California, you have to fill out this paperwork so they can track you down, I guess. I don't know. But then it lists everything that's open, that is about, that's allowed to remain open. And I can't find a business on here. Zoos, banks, hardware stores, plumbers, electricians, shopping services, shipping services, education is can remain open, college, laundromats. Now, I got to the restaurants here on page 5. During the break, I'm trying to read the entire thing quickly to understand it for you people. So, you're welcome. Restaurants and retail food facilities that prepare food to customers via delivery service to be picked up are exempt. For those establishments offering food pickup options, they're directed to establish social distancing practices for those patrons in the queue for pickup. This includes maintaining a distance of 6 feet. And that's it. So cafeterias, commissaries, restaurants located within hospitals and nursing homes and other licensed facilities may provide dine-in service as long as social distancing is practiced. It doesn't make sense, right? You're in a nursing home, and you can eat indoors in a nursing home, but you can't eat outdoors when we're expecting a 75-mile-an-hour wind tomorrow. Does that make sense to anybody? The Santa Ana winds are going to knock electricity out for about 350,000 people, and yet you can literally sit in a nursing home inside a commissary in a nursing home and have lunch with somebody. Get along. Somebody's dropped the ball here. Somebody has dropped the ball. All right. It goes on to talk about businesses that can stay open, and I can't find one that's not on this list.
Hey, Timmy.
Yes.
Does it mention pictures with Santa, or am I going to have to cancel that on Saturday?
I think that's over.
Gil.
But name me a business, and I'm going to try to find where it is and if it's on this list. Name me any kind of business.
Nail salons.
Okay.
That's a big one.
Okay, nail salons. Okay. Personal care establishments may reopen for indoor operations with required modifications. Personal care establishments also include hair salons, nail salons, barbershops, skin care, body art professionals, tattoo parlors, piercing shops, tanning salons, and massage therapy. Indoor activity for personal care is limited to 20% of max, and personal care must not operate between the hours of 10 p.m. and 5 a.m. So if you're not going to get a massage or a tattoo at midnight, you're gold.
Oh.
All right. I can't see anything on here that's going to be closed. Even fitness facilities, right? I call them gyms.
Gymnasiums.
Yeah, well, that's what Biden calls
them. Right.
Yeah. We went down and passed this gymnasium.
We threw the medicine ball.
Anyway, so it says fitness facilities, including private gymnasiums, they open for outdoor operations at 50% of max outdoor capacity. Well, what is outdoor capacity? Right. I mean, isn't the world outdoors? Isn't the capacity whatever 7 billion we have on Earth? That's capacity. So the indoor portions of fitness facilities are closed to the public until further notice. That's the first time I found anything closed. Libraries can stay open that are not on campuses, and they have to operate at 20% of max. Libraries may elect to continue curbside pickup operations.
I think most libraries are already operating at 20% max capacity.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think nobody's going.
Yeah.
Right? But outdoor areas like museums, galleries, aquariums, zoos are implementing the LA Health, the county protocol. Businesses renting equipment can stay open. Professional sports leagues, teams, and facilities may operate for training and competition without spectators. Breweries and wineries are closed for in-person, on-site food and beverage service. Breweries and wineries may remain open for indoor retail operations at 20% of maximum indoor occupancy following the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health protocols. So let me read that again. Breweries and wineries are closed for in-person, on-site food and beverage services. Breweries and wineries may remain open for indoor retail operations at 20%. So
you can buy it there, but you got to drink it elsewhere.
Breweries and wineries may remain open for indoor retail operation. I see. Oh, yeah, you might be right there. All right, and then so that's it. I mean, it goes on to, you know, for government employees and emergency personnel and all first responders, gang and crisis intervention workers, public health workers, emergency management, emergency dispatchers, law enforcement, and related contractors can stay open. Government employees, this order does not apply to employees of government agencies. God almighty, there's nobody on here. Essential infrastructure, and then it goes on to say these can stay open. Office buildings, airport operations, food supply. God almighty, I can't find anything on here that's closed. This is amazing. This is like the worthless letter. KFI AM 640. It is the Conway Show. The stricter, please stay the F at home orders have come out from Mayor Garcetti. And I can't find anybody that's not exempt on that list. It said, please stay at home with the exception of, and then they list everybody in L.A. All right, we're breaking news in Van Nuys. Chase ends there.
The DUI driver.
Desmond Shaw live overhead in Sky 9 to tell us more now. Desmond.
Well, Susie, that's right. This involved LAPD's West Valley Division, but it led here to the Van Nuys area just east of Sepulveda, pretty close to the 405 south of Roscoe on this small surface street. You see, it looks like a minor collision here.
Bad
with
this
Mike, car,
Des.
And
bad
unfortunately,
Mike.
Nobody was injured. The driver was detained pretty quickly. So now just a kind of a standard investigation taking place by LAPD here in Van Nuys. But fortunately, the chase ended with no injuries. Live
there
at Sky 9 overhead, I'm Desmond Shaw. Juan and Susie, back to you in the studio.
All right, thank you very much.
Ding dong. Gina or Bellio or Angel, Mondo maybe, do you watch The Masked Singer?
Oh, I love that show.
Do you?
I love it.
I can't stand it, man. I shouldn't say that. I don't hate the show. I just can't stand how dumb the judges are.
I love it.
When they're trying to guess who it is, and like one of them will say, is it Cher? I'm like, no, it's not effing Cher. And then the other's like, well, is it Elton John? It's not Elton John. It's like Dr. Drew's kid. That's who's there. And they're like, oh, is it Justin Bieber? Nope, it's not Justin Bieber. Is it the Beatles? No! I mean, two of the Beatles are dead. How can it be the four Beatles? What's wrong with you people? Oh, is it maybe the Eagles? No, it's not the Eagles. It's like Gina Grad's brother. Is he on there? Maybe he's not. But there's nobody that is of any huge fame that is on the show. Maybe in the future, but so far, nobody. All right, the stay-at-home orders are for, I don't know, I guess they're asking everyone to please, if you live in the city of Los Angeles, stay home and don't go anywhere. But then the exemption is everybody. And guess who this doesn't apply to? Me. I live in Burbank. The mayor is the mayor of L.A. City and has nothing to do with me. And so far, Burbank has not called and said, stay home, Uncle T-Bones. So I get to get out there and move around. Well, you people in L.A., in the city of L.A., you got to stay put. So I don't know if this is going to be, if this is a sort of like a warm-up to more stricter rules, maybe coming out of L.A. County. That's another rumor going around. Or that this is it. These are the strict rules that, you know, and this supersedes the order that was given in March. I mean, I'm sorry, in June. But, I mean, even the beaches are open. you know, and the beaches are you know, the first things always to close, and they're going to stay open as well. Here's the beach rule this time around. Beaches and piers. City of Los Angeles piers are closed. Okay. How many is that? Two. And the beaches are open for active recreation, including swimming, surfing, running, and walking. However, sunbathing, sitting, and gatherings in violation of paragraph three are off limits. So you can't sit on the beach anymore. The winds are going to be 75 miles an hour. They're going to knock the electricity out of 350,000 homes potentially, and you can't sit your ass on the sand because you're going to die from COVID. You know how many people have died from COVID from the beaches so far in California? Zero. Zero. Older people who are 85 and who have cancer and heart disease and diabetes, they're being affected. They're also not on the beach. So don't panic. Don't get crazy. And don't let this ruin your life either.
Did you mention churches? What was it with the churches?
Let's see. Churches can stay open.
Oh, I love their chicken.
Yeah, it says, let me see. I think it's under religious.
I think places of, number 26, places of worship.
Okay, that's under worship. Place of worship provided that gathering of... held outdoors. All right, so churches have to be held outdoors. All right, we got to take a break. We're live on KFI AM 640. KFI AM 640. It is the Conway Show. Before we get to our guest, Mara Garcetti just put out audio moments ago. So let's listen to it and see what we can pick up with this new stay-at-home order.
My message couldn't be simpler. It's time to hunker down. It's time to cancel everything. And if it isn't essential, don't do it. Don't meet up with others outside your household. Don't host a gathering. Don't attend a gathering. And following our targeted safer at home order, if you're able to stay home, stay home.
There you go. Now watch. Mara Garcetti will be at Tommy's later, around midnight, choking down a chili cheeseburger with Wendy Gruel or Cruel or Gruel
Sheila.
Or... Sheila, whatever. Like Wendy's that different from Sheila, please. All right, very good. So you got to stay at home. That order just came out, and you got to keep your ass at home. All right, we do have, again, we're going to get to our caller here just a second, but we have some fantastic news for people that donated to the Pastathon.
It's the 10th annual KFI Pastathon. Go to pastathon.com to donate now.
Calculating donations.
Please. What are you doing?
Calculating donations.
They're calculating donations.
Calculating donations.
Yes.
Please stand by.
Here we go. $150,785 in cash. $150,785. That's cool. And 28,760 pounds of pasta and sauce. Yes. We did it. All right. Thank you, everybody, for going to pastathon.com. Pastathon.com. That is fantastic. All right. Our next guest here is an old friend of mine. I've known him since seventh grade. And he has, while everyone was trying to smoke weed and hit on chicks, he was busy writing and taking photographs. He's one of the best photographers in the world. And I'm still lucky to be friends with him because most of the time when somebody becomes really good at what they do like that, they just press on. They don't talk to their old pals anymore. But Mark Ash is with us. Mark, how are you, bub?
I'm great, Tim. Thanks for having me.
Buddy, you're a giant stud. You know that.
I've been waiting for somebody to recognize that all day. So I'm happy you did.
That's great. I got to tell the people, before we get into your books, one of the greatest Mark Asher stories ever, and we were at a funeral. I'm sure you remember this story, but you and I and the rest of our pals were at a funeral because one of our buddy's mother had passed away, and she had fought a long illness with cancer. And we were all sitting, there's about maybe 75 to 100 people all sitting in a home, and there were rows of chairs like you'd see in a temple or a church. And Mark Ash was sitting in front of me, and Robbie Fox was sitting on my left. And Robbie Fox leans forward in the middle of this funeral and whispers to Mark Asher, "You are so studly." And Mark Asher starts laughing so hard that he can't control himself, and he has to turn it into fake crying and screaming and leave the house. And everyone's like, "What the hell's wrong with that guy? Man, he's really taking this hard." You remember that?
You know, it's funny. I'm trying to remember, and I sort of do, but I don't remember it super well.
Every time I think about it, I can't. I still picture you laughing so hard that you're and obviously you're at a funeral, so you can't keep laughing. You had to turn it into a screaming cry. That was great. All right, buddy, you have moved on from Los Angeles. You're a smart guy. You live up in the Idaho area, and your books are really taking off, huh?
Yeah, the most successful thing I've done so far is a book called All That Ails You, which is told from the dog's point of view.
Right.
So it's a rescue dog that ends up in a home for seniors. And it's just a very, very sweet story, simply told, and it has over 500 five-star reviews on Amazon.
Wow. That's a lot, dude. 500 is a tremendous amount for any book.
Yeah, I think the thing that people, I think, really tapped into is the idea that it was told from the dog's point of view. And the idea of animals and seniors, I think, just kind of touches a heartstring.
Yeah, there's a seniors home up where my wife's great-great-grandmother lived up in a place called Kelso, Washington. And they had a cat, and that cat lived at the seniors home. And that cat would wander around, and it would always jump on the bed. And if it jumped on the bed, it was an indication that whoever was in that bed is not going to make it. And they would die like 4 or 5 or 6 days later. And the cat was right every single time.
Yeah, they're incredible. I did a ton of research before I wrote the book and went into a bunch of assisted living homes and just kind of witnessed the interaction between dogs and seniors. And it was really moving.
Yeah, I think, you know, when people say, you know, they don't understand how people can love their dogs as much as, you know, people love their kids. Those are people who have not really had a dog. Because I know a guy who is a writer and a producer in Hollywood, and he had a dog that died, I don't know, maybe 15 or 20 years ago. And he's, to this day, still can't talk about it without getting emotional.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. People tell me when I do book signings, they come up to me and they tell me stories, and the story is so fresh, but it's just like you said, the dog, you know, passed away 10 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, my daughter, I think she does this to bust my balls, but we had a cat that I was especially close with. Her name was Allie, like Allie Cat. And I trained her to fetch, which took a long time, but it was kind of cool. And we lost her to coyotes in Encino, but I kept her cat tag or name tag and a picture of her up in Oregon. And every time I see, you know, my daughter will grab the name tag and show it to me. And when I see that name tag, I get emotional. And that was probably closer to 17 or 18 years ago.
Yeah.
It's tough. It really is.
Yeah, it definitely, definitely, definitely is.
Yeah. So All That Ails You is really taking off. That's available on Amazon?
Yes, it is. It is.
And then you also have a miracle. Is it Maravasa?
Maravasa. I kept calling it Maravasa, and then a friend of mine said, "No, I think it's Maravasa." And I said, "Okay, it's my book, but I think you're right." So it is Miracle on Maravasa, and that is the newest one that I've done so far. And the impetus for that one, Tim, was every time I do a book signing, people would look at the table, they see a bunch of dog books, and they'd go, "Dog books, huh? I don't want to read another sad dog book. You know, the dog's always dying in these books." So I processed that for a couple of years, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to write something where the dog doesn't die, but the dog lives on. And so whenever I do these and they come up with that, I'm going to go, "No, here's one for you." So that was kind of the impetus for it. But it took me into just this many, many years of trying to take science and make it simplistic.
Right.
So to try to make it, because science is very, very complicated. So I tried to make it a very, very simple
story. So the story revolves around a teenage boy named Nathan who was born with a rare facial deformity. And his entire childhood, for various reasons, revolves around his golden retriever named Son and his love for the outdoors. And he lives, his mother shields him from public scrutiny so nobody will chastise him for the way he looks.
Right.
So that's kind of, that's eventually Nathan and a group of other dog owners go to this island, which is Miravasa, and it's south of Costa Rica. And they're going there because there was this viral story by a caretaker on that island that his dog was miraculously cured of cancer. And they don't know what that possibly did that on the island, but the owner of the island agrees to allow five dog owners to come to the island to see if it can heal their dogs.
Oh, it sounds awesome, buddy. So if people go to Amazon and they just type in Mark Asher, it'll take them to both books.
It should, yeah.
Excellent. Buddy, thanks for coming on, man. You know, and thank God, you know, at least for you, you live in Idaho, because right now we're under a stay-at-home rule that'll, you know, kick the crap out of you down.
Yeah, the only thing is with all the social unrest and the years since I've spoken to you, I think half your audience as we're talking right now is actually in Idaho.
No kidding.
They're all coming here, buddy.
I know.
And I hope to see you soon.
Buddy, I will come up there and get you in a huge headlock. But I really appreciate you coming on. You sound great. And glad that the success of these books, especially All That Ails You, over 500 five-star reviews is terrific. But
I really appreciate you having me on.
Thanks for coming on, buddy. I'll call you soon.
All right.
Take care. All right, there he goes. One of the studliest guys in the world. Go to Amazon.com and type in Mark Asher, All That Ails You. Again, 500 reviews and five star. All right, the stay-at-home order from Mayor Garcetti. I read the entire thing, and it exempts almost everybody. They want you to stay home, but they also say, hey, you can also be open as well. So Steve Gregory is with us. Steve, you with us? Or is he gonna, after the break, right?
Yeah.
Oh, after the break. All right, Steve, when we come back, do you have any news, any additional news that we have not covered here?
Yes.
What do you got?
Oh, do you want to do it now?
Well, real quick. You got something real quick?
Yeah, I just want to tell you that this is not the big deal you're making it out to be.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, it is the letter from the mayor, right?
Yep, but I can explain why after the
really?
Break. Yep.
All right, good. Okay, then excellent. All right, we'll come back, and I guess we've made too big a deal out of it. For Steve, now that he's the employee of the month, he gets to tell us that, you know, how big a deal we can make out of stuff. KFI AM 640, it is the Conway Show. Steve Gregory joins us about this Eric Garcetti letter. And I guess I thought it was a big deal, but Steve Gregory said, nah, it's not that big a deal.
Here's why, buddy. When you read it first, because believe me, everyone that was calling me and texting me about it all sort of saw it the same way, and I think it had its intended effect. When I looked at the entire health order and read the entire thing, all it does is copy the county's Safer at Home amended order, but it's been rewritten to make it look like it's a City of Los Angeles original health order.
Ah.
So,
well, why didn't they just say that then?
Well, now, if I had to guess on this, only based on my experience covering this for the last 9 months or so, it's that the mayor likes to look at things independently. He likes to do things, how can I put this delicately? If you'll notice, his briefings are at 5:15 at night. The county's briefings are at 1 or 1:30 in the afternoon. That gives him time to hear the county's message and then craft his message around the county's message.
Yeah, but I think he also does that knowing that the local news will carry it.
That's one thing. So you're sort of kind of getting into where they're going to cover him at the 5 o'clock news. And so he's going to get a lot of attention. So when you rewrite the order like this, it makes it look like he's the one that sort of crafted this from. You know what? It makes it look like it's an original, like I'm cracking down. I'm going to get to the bottom of this. But if you really read through this and break it down, let me find an example here that caught my attention. He says you can't leave your home unless it's essential. Well, by the way, all these things are open. If you look at the way it's worded, like the churches, for instance, or restaurant, retail, food facilities that prepare food and offer food are only open for drive-through, delivery, and takeout. That's the county order. Businesses right. that supply or provide storage needed to work for people at home businesses. I'm looking here real quick. Airline, taxi, ride-sharing services necessary for essential activities can only do so after implementing the L.A. County Department of Public Health protocols for small water vessel charters and transportation. So he goes back to quoting the county on the bigger stuff. So when I'm looking through businesses that manufacture retail goods, these businesses must also implement the County of Los Angeles reopening protocol for warehousing manufacturing. Places of worship, provided the gathering of congregants is held outdoors and after implementing the LA County Department of Public Health Places of Worship protocol. This is the county health order rewritten to make it look like Mayor Garcetti's health order.
Ah, well, that sucks.
And permitted activities in business sectors. All of the following otherwise permitted activities must close for operations between the hours of 10 p.m. and 5 a.m. That's the state order.
Right.
City parks and trails, recreational cultural programming, golf and tennis, day camps, beaches, pools, all that stuff has already come out. He's repackaging the state order and the county order to make it look like a City of Los Angeles emergency health order.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, this is then there's no news here then.
Well, the only thing that's different about this health order that I can tell is that he encourages the LAPD to implement or to enforce, to vigorously enforce this rule. He didn't order the LAPD to do it. He vigorously urges right. the LAPD and the city attorney to enforce this emergency health order.
So he takes $150 million out of LAPD's budget and then asks them to do more work.
That's a way of looking at it, certainly. But, again, when I looked at this, because my head was swimming, too, because I had no idea this was going on. And also the fact that he released this via emergency text or the emergency alert, LA alert. He released it via text. He released it via email and social media. But why didn't he mention it at 5:15 today when the order itself was signed at 4:30 this afternoon? Why didn't he lead with this at 5:15?
It's odd.
Yeah. No.
Do you think he read it?
I don't know. All I know is that it's suspicious to me. And I want to assure everybody listening, there's nothing different that I can tell right now, having gone through this quick glance. There's nothing different in this order than does not already exist.
Right. And from what I can see, and I've read now all 12 pages, every business has an exemption.
Exactly. Including podcasters.
Including pot sellers.
Yeah.
And massage parlors.
Everything in here is exactly mirroring the county's health order and the state's health order.
Wow. All right, so stay home.
He's just repackaging it.
Stay home unless you have a job or unless you want to go out.
Yeah, because even breweries and wineries are closed
right.
for in-person on-site food and beverage service, but they may remain open for indoor retail operations at 20% maximum following L.A. County Department of Public Health protocols. He's doing all of this stuff, but then, by the way, you have to refer back to L.A. County.
And we're back to the crazy beach rule if you can walk but you can't sit.
Right. So.
And tomorrow we're expecting 75-mile-an-hour winds.
I suspect this is why this was a soft rollout and not the lead story or not the lead comment that he was making at 5:15, because I think he knows,
right.
you know, I mean, eventually we're going to pick up on this thing that there's nothing different about this order
right.
other than he says LAPD instead of LA County Sheriff.
I'd love to see the science behind sitting on the beach on a 75-mile-an-hour wind and getting COVID and dying.
Well, I don't know. Sometime the next time you and I get together for a non-sanctioned lunch, I'll tell you what I really think.
All right. All right. Enjoy the new parking spot this month, Bob. And we'll catch you on the flip side.
Take care, pal. Have a great
right.
night, buddy.
There he goes. Steve Gregory, man. That guy's on top of it, and he's right. Now that I think about it, there really is nothing different here than what the county has already told us. So no need to panic. Everyone back to normal. All right. I caught Mondo saying something stupid during the break, and I didn't realize I also taped it so I can play it when we come back.
What?
Yeah. KFI AM 640. It is the Conway Show. Really low humidity, strong winds coming through. Up to 350,000 people are going to lose electricity so we don't start any forest fires, right? And so if you're one of those people, you may want to look into a generator, maybe even a small little, you know, pull start generator. Something to at least keep the refrigerator cold, the freezer frozen, the eggs are cool, and the Jell-O's jiggling. Something like that. All right. When we record, when we broadcast the show, I keep one channel on my board in queue where I can hear what's going on at the station in case Mondo needs me. Well, that station was being recorded on my Twisted Wave, which is another piece of equipment that I use. And I look back in it, and I could see the audio from me talking, which is this.
Department of Public Health Protocols. So let me read that again.
Okay, and I can see on the levels, they're all one level. And then it goes up a level, which means that either I was yelling or I caught Mondo saying something. And it was the latter. I caught Mondo saying something, and he was singing something while I was talking, and I didn't hear it, but in cue, it was picked up on Twisted Wave, and I recorded it. Do you remember what you were singing?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure?
I sing a lot during the commercials.
All right. Well, you're singing a jingle from a very popular grocery chain. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I know what you're talking about now.
All right. Here it is. And he did it twice. Here's Mondo singing.
You got both of them?
Yeah. I got both of them. Here's Mondo singing the grocery outlet song.
Department of Public Health Protocols. So let me read that again. Breweries and wineries.
Groceries outlet, farmers townhouse.
Food and beverage service. Breweries,
groceries outlet, farmers townhouse.
Grocery outlet, farmers townhouse.
Yeah, that's a commercial.
That's so great. Grocery outlet,
breweries and wineries.
Groceries outlet, farmers townhouse.
Food and beverage service.
Okay, you missed three of four words. First of all, it's not groceries. There's no S. There's no. That's not plural.
Are you sure?
Groceries outlet. It's not groceries outlet.
Well,
it's grocery.
Who's leaving with a grocery?
Grocery
at
outlet.
Store? That doesn't make any sense.
Grocery outlet, and it's not bar. It's not
groceries outlet. Farmers.
It's not farmer's townhouse. What is that? What is farmer's townhouse?
I didn't write it.
It's grocery outlet bargain market.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it's not groceries outlet. Farmer's townhouse.
That's where the farmers
groceries
go.
Outlet, farmer's townhouse. Food and beverage services. Brewers,
groceries outlet, farmer's townhouse.
Open. Farmer's townhouse.
Farmer's townhouse.
Remain open.
That's where the farmers go.
Oh, Bobo. Bobo! I don't know, man. What's going on with you? All right.
I think it's good.
We have the stay-at-home order.
If they need a new sound guy, let me know.
Yeah, okay. I definitely will.
Yeah, groceries outlet. Will.
Yeah, groceries outlet. You missed.
Farmers
there's four words. It's groceries outlet bargain market. And of the four words in that slogan, you missed three of them.
Are you sure?
Yep.
All right.
That's amazing. That's got to be some kind of record. All right. We got the stay-at-home order from Eric Garcetti, but then Steve Gregory read through it and said, no. This is just the same thing the county's been putting out for a long time. This means nothing. And so now you just have to stay at home. Unless you're working or want to go outside, you can do that as well.
I don't mean to be a negative Nancy, but isn't this kind of an inappropriate time to cry wolf with new mandates?
It does seem to scare the hell out of people, yeah.
Because the next one that is real will go, oh, they say this all the time.
Right. And there's rumor of, you know, there's always been rumors that the next one's coming, next one's coming, next
right.
one's coming. And when it does, you're right. People will be like, oh, that's probably Mayor Eric Garcetti just copying something.
Yeah, know, did he just put the county. Words in a different order this time?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. That's why it's really bizarre. But, you know, these politicians are, you know, they're really not well. they really aren't. You know, I mean, to be the governor of the state and then go to wet laundry for a big party. It's just not a good idea. You know, Sheila Krul or Gruel, and you go to a restaurant hours after telling everybody you can die from doing that. I just don't like it. You know what? I forgot to mention this last night, but the people own that restaurant. Is it Il Forno? I believe it's Il Forno.
Yes, Il Forno Trattoria.
Right. But the people own that restaurant. They should have kicked her ass out of that restaurant last night or whenever she went. And they should put a picture of her right near the receptionist there and not allow her in anymore. Because she's the one that shut everybody down. As a matter of fact, if you own a restaurant, you can pick and choose who you allow in. You should have a picture of Sheila Kuehl. I think it's the first time I got her name right. Have a picture of Sheila Kuehl right on the front door and just said, not invited, not allowed. And whoever does that first is going to get some publicity.
Well, they're already getting some nice publicity. I mean, they should just put up the slogan saying, our food's good enough to break a mandate.
That's right. Yeah, you'll die to eat here. That's great. But if somebody does put, you know, Sheila's picture in the front window and said, not welcome.
You're going to make her look like she cashed a bad check. Remember when they used to put up those pictures?
Right. They had the bad check, too.
That's right.
Right. And they shamed everybody. And the checks were mostly for like $8.
Right.
And now it's like, oh, my God, Steve Bresnahan cashed a bad check. Oh, my God. What was he thinking?
The shame really kept people in line.
Yeah. And now you really see that, you know, because nobody's really using checks anymore. And when you see an old woman drag a checkbook out and you're behind her.
Hunker down.
Plus, you know, they check when you pay with the check, they put it in right away and they take the money out right away. You know, they literally have a service that takes it out immediately.
Oh.
You can't float it for a couple of days like we used to, you know?
That's the whole point of writing a check.
I used to cash a check at Gelson's and then, you know, try to find the money 3 days later to stick in my account.
Like your own personal pawn shop.
That's right, exactly. KFI AM 640, it's Conway's show. George Norrie is coming up. George, it's on the big program.
Yeah, first couple hours, going to talk about global warming, how's it caused, and then later on, intuition within family members. You ever have that feeling where...
Oh, boy.
...brother or sister is tied into something?
Yep. Especially twins have it, you know?
Absolutely. So we'll talk about that in our last 2 hours of Coast to Coast.
All right, thanks, man. Talk to you soon. All right, there he goes, George Norrie and Coast to Coast. That's weird that he said that, because the last couple of days... have been weird because we used to have two cats. We had a male and a female, and Tony was the male, and Mandy was the female. And twice in the last week or so, I've turned the corner, and out of the corner of my eye, I could see Tony. It's weird. It's odd. It happened about an hour and a half ago. I turned my head, and I thought I saw something in my office. And I could have sworn it was Tony. And look, it might just be me, right? I might be crazy. But it also could have been Tony as well. You know, David, Tony! I got a nice gift today from Doug Stratton. So, Doug, thank you very much. Doug Stratton gave me a couple of Santa Anita mugs, which was kind of cool. And he's the guy that has our Facebook page. Ba-ba-bum. And then here's me at the track. Open it up! Open him up, one! Come on! Open him up! Open 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 up! Push! Push!
Push!
Push!
Push!
Push!
Push! You lazy son of a...
Mondo, please. It wasn't that funny. All right. But anyway, that was kind of cool. And then we got audio of Mondo saying something kind of weird.
Department of Public Health Protocols. So let me read that again. Breweries and wineries.
Groceries outlet, farmer's townhouse.
Food and beverage services. Breweries.
Groceries outlet, farmer's townhouse.
Open for.
Groceries outlet. Farmer's Townhouse. Dope. Anyway, Doug Stratton is our Facebook guy. So if you want to go to Facebook, go to Tim Conway Jr. Show and Friends fan page. Tim Conway Jr. Show and Friends fan page. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 words in the title. And I think he has like 5 or 6 thousand people on it. I mean, it's unbelievable. Tim Conway Jr. Show.
That's a whole
and
lot of
Friends people. Fan page. So go check it out. And follow or like or something, whatever you do. I know what you do. Bellio, what are we up to on Facebook? We're almost at 200,000. Have we reached that level?
We have not. We're at 194,000.
That's a whole lot of people.
I thought we were 197 at some point.
And then you said something and we lost 3,000.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What did I say?
We can gain them back tonight at Conway Show.
All right, yeah. At Facebook, you know what we should do is like a telethon to see if we can get up over 200,000.
Okay.
Because I think at 200,000, you know, you get an award or a plaque or something. You know.
Well, if you mention your Instagram, you're close to 20,000.
Really?
Yeah.
So Instagram.com/Conway Show.
Yeah.
That's cool. And Bellio handles a lot of the social media, if not all of it, and does an outstanding job. Outstanding.
Thank you.
You're welcome. In lieu of a Christmas bonus, I'll just give you a compliment on the air.
Same thing every year.
Every year. All right. Don't forget the stay-at-home order. You got to stay, keep your ass at home. I think that's what it says in so many words. It's 12 pages. But what it really says is, you better stay home. All right. And then we have one more update. One more update, and then we got to get the hell out of here. Okay? Tiny, tiny update for the Pastathon. So let's hit it.
Go to Pastathon.com to donate now.
Calculating donations.
Please stand by.
We're at $152,785. And 28,760 pounds of pasta and sauce! Yeah, congratulations, everybody. Thank you, thank you, thank you. This money and this pasta and this sauce is going to feed kids that do not have food. Can't think of another charity that's worthy, more worthy than... Pastathon.com. Go to Pastathon.com for Katarina's Club. All right, we'll be on tomorrow with Dr. Ray Kasheri, and we'll ask him about all these stay-at-home orders and see what's going on tomorrow at 6 p.m. All right, KFI AM 640.